good to be here tonight. And it's good to see each one that has come. You that are here perhaps for the first time, thank you very much for coming. And if you've been here before, we are glad to see you again. Our purpose of gospel meetings is just this. We are all heading out into eternity. Eternity is before each one of us. And eternity simply means this: forever and ever and ever. I worked with some guys in the Weyerhaeuser sawmill, and one in particular, he would always laugh at me when we talk about God, about heaven. And he would say, you know, when my life is done, and he was quite a rough guy, but when my life is done, they're going to put me 6 feet under and I'll just die like a dog and that's it. I said to him, Pete, you can live like a dog, but you're not going to die like a dog. Pete, you got a soul that's going to live forever and ever. Yeah, your body is 6 feet under, but your soul has made its way out into eternity. And that is why we have gospel meetings. We have them every Sunday night. We have the young people in that we want to bring before them the reality that we are going to live forever and ever and ever. And we want you to understand tonight that it isn't just 6 feet under, but our soul will make its way out into eternity. The reality of that is this. We just got news, in fact it was on Facebook, where we learned it, that a very good friend, a relative of ours, Karina Sayward in El Salvador. She got sick 2 or 3 days ago, we understand, and within 2 or 3 days, she was gone. Her life was taken from her. God knew. God knew the day that Karina would be taken home. Only 50 years old. And yet, God said, Karina, it's time to come home. Tomorrow they're going to put her body in the grave. But her soul has already made its way into eternity. And it's in the presence of Jesus. Why? Because she belonged to a gospel hall? No. It's because she belonged to Jesus Christ. Sometime in her life she came to know the truth that she was a sinner and Christ died for sinners. And she accepted the fact that he died for her. So tonight, you've maybe heard these terms before, but I want you just to think about them again tonight. As we would open up the scriptures, I want you to stop. Just even your thinking, you know, our minds can wander. Do you know that even up here our minds can wander while we're speaking? But our minds can wander and we can be in here and yet we're not listening at all. So I want you just to stop tonight. And I want you to listen to what God has to say. I don't want you to think about your eternity. We want to look at John chapter 3 and verse 16. It's a well-known Bible verse. In fact, I'm going to ask, put up your hand. How many know and memorize John 3 and 16? Yeah. Lots of people. That's right. John 3 and 16. It's probably what it is. It's one verse in the Bible that more people are saved. That is, when we talk about saved tonight, we're talking about being saved from the punishment of sin, which is hell, and eventually the lake of fire. And to be saved is to know that heaven is your home. And it's all because of Jesus Christ. And there's more people that come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior through John 3 and 16. So let us read it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That means should not be in hell, but have everlasting life, be in heaven. So the question is tonight, and you need to stop and think about this, where do you want to spend eternity? In heaven or in hell. And you know, the choice is yours. You must choose where you'll spend eternity. Heaven or hell. There are four things in this verse that we want to look at tonight and bring to your attention. Things that you need to think about. And I can remember way back when I was just a young fella, I was a bit of a smart aleck. I'm sorry for that, but however, one day I had an uncle that took me aside, something that I'd done, and it wasn't a very good thing to do. And he went through it with me as to what I did and what the problem was and why I shouldn't do it again. And when he was all done, he says, "Now I want you to think about that." And you know, God is saying tonight, you need to think about your eternity. Because we don't know about tomorrow. God knows each one of us here. And that's the first thing we want to look at tonight is God and who is He? And then we want to look at, from our verse tonight, sin and what is it? Then we want to look at the Son and who is He? And then that word, whosoever. That means you and me. And where do we fit into this verse? John 3 and 16. God and who is He? Often when people will introduce us to somebody, if we know somebody else in the family or somebody that's related, they'll say, "This is so-and-so, oh, by the way, he's a brother of, you know who that, yeah," and we know. But when we are introduced to God, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God." And that's the way God introduces us to Himself. In the beginning, God. And throughout the rest of the Bible, we have lots of evidence of who God is and what He does and what He has done for us and what He thinks about us. And in this very verse tonight, how He loves us. In the beginning, God. Have you ever wondered if God really exists? If He really is? No man has seen God at any time. So we're dealing with the term faith. To believe in God, we have to have faith in God and in His Word. Have you ever asked yourself, how can I find God? Can I talk to God? Yeah. You and I can talk to God. He talks to us through His Word. This is really a letter written to you and I from God. And it's written to each one of us. And we have the choice. Am I going to read what God wrote to me? Am I going to read what he tells me? Or am I just going to put that book up and it's not for me? You see, because we can't see God, we think we can put Him to the back of our mind. We think that we can put Him out of our life. But God tells us that we're going to meet Him one day. And He tells us that we're better to meet Him here while we're living on earth than to meet Him in eternity. Today, we will meet Him by faith. And in November the 15th, 1955, a young man of 10 years of age. By faith, I met Jesus Christ. I never saw Him, but I know that He is. And I know what He has done for me. The Bible tells us that if we don't accept Christ as our Savior, He'll either be our Savior, or in a coming day, He will be our judge. He took the judgment when He died on the cross. And by receiving Him as our Savior, we accept that He died for me, for my sin. And in the coming day, instead of being our judge, we will be with Him as He judges the sinner in a coming day. In the beginning, God. And then God created the heavens and the earth. And we also read, if we turn to John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. And that's another name for Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, it's a capital W, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Lord Jesus Christ. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So before there was ever a universe, before there was man, there was God. He has always existed, and that is hard for us to get our minds wrapped around that. But the Scripture would remind us that He was, He is, and He always will be, for He is God. He has no beginning, and He has no end. God is all-powerful. God is all-wise. And God is present everywhere. Absolutely amazing that God is here. God is in Africa. God is. Wherever you might call upon God, He is there. And He is there to hear. God is supreme. And God is holy. And holy means that God has no sin. He would not be God if He had sin. He had no sin. And we'll see that about Jesus Christ as well. God is light, and our verse tells us that God is love. God is not an image, and He's not an idol. We don't see much of that in our country. But we bring the gospel to our native Indian here in Oregon and in Washington where we live. We come to the reservations with the Bible, with the Word of God. And our native Indian is described as a pantheist. And that means they believe in many gods. The Bible tells us there's one God. But they believe in many gods. And their different gods are this. There's the water and the river and the rippling of the water. And so it's like a spirit to them. And they like the rippling of the water. And they will listen to that and they believe that the water is talking to them and they talk back to the water. They like the wind through the trees and the leaves. And again, there's as the wind would blow, they hear. And probably it's soothing, no doubt, but they talk back. They like the eagle. And they like the fish and they worship them. Before they go fishing, they'll send two men out on the Columbia River, and they'll catch three or four fish until they get a big salmon. And they'll dress that salmon, and they'll put it on a platter, and they will have their powwow. And there they have that salmon, and they will bow down to that salmon, and they will thank that salmon for all the fish that he's going to give them. And they worship that salmon. The sad thing is, that salmon can't do anything for them. And the one and only God is the God that created the rivers and the trees and the wind and the salmon. And they can't get beyond that. Romans tells us that men make their mistake. They worship the creation instead of the Creator. And our friends, the native Indians, they will pray to the great Creator, but they don't know who He is. But we know who He is from His Word. The one that created all things, the eternal God. God created you and I. And God loves what He has created. And God loves you and I. Why does God love you and I? Because of sin. The Bible says that we are all sinners. The first sin. You know what the first sin was? It ever came into this world. And we would think of, that's right, You're right on. Somebody gave me an answer over here. The first sin was, and he said this. Yes, they took of the tree that God said, thou shalt not eat thereof. And the first sin wasn't murder. The first sin wasn't some awful sin that we would say, I would never do that. The first sin was something that we have all done, and probably some have done it today. Disobedience. And if there's times when we have asked people, are you a sinner? He said, no, I'm not a sinner. But God says, each one of us are sinners, and we've come short of the glory of God. Disobedience. Adam and Eve disobeyed God. Have you ever disobeyed your parents? Yeah, that's right. I have too. One sin will keep us out of heaven, and one sin will take us to hell. And that is why we read, God so loved the world that he gave his son to die for our sins. One sin. What is the source of sin? Psalms tells us that we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We were given a sinful nature. And we respond to sin. What is the source of sin? Again, the Bible says that it's from the heart. Not this thing that keeps us living, but the heart. When the Bible speaks about the heart, it's the real you and I. The heart is our thinking, our motivations, how we act and react. And the Bible says, out of your heart and mine proceeds evil thoughts. Well, you know, we should be pretty safe. If you sit here tonight in this church service and you have evil thoughts, we don't know about it. The person next to you don't know about it. Who's going to know that I have evil thoughts? God. That's right. God knows everything. God can read our minds. God knows our heart. God knows all about us. So what are some of the sins? Just a few of them. Evil thoughts, a murderer, sexual immorality, stealing, false witness to lie, blasphemies, to use swear words. And those are sins that are keeping us out of heaven. Sin. Sin is separating us from God. And friend, tonight, if your sins are not forgiven, and there's only one that can forgive us of our sins, no man on earth can forgive us of our sins, only one, and it's the man Christ Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ. Then we have the Son, and who is he? Have you heard of the triune God? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God, three persons in one. How does that work? God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son. We have it in this verse. For God, and we read in other places it was God the Father, for the Father loved us, and he sent the Son to this world. The Father sent the Son. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And the Son, we know that he left heaven and he was born in Bethlehem's manger. God took upon flesh. He lived on this earth for 33 years. He showed the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. People could see the reality of God in his Son, Jesus Christ, and yet they hated him. And the Bible says they hated him without a cause. But God gave his Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins. So what about God the Spirit? Well, tonight, the Spirit of God takes up his word and he knocks on your heart's door. And he's reminding you that you have a soul that will live forever and ever, either in heaven or hell. You know, today, people don't like to hear about hell. But, you know, we can tell you that the Bible tells us that hell was never prepared for you and I. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. People will sometimes ask us, how can a God of love send anybody to hell? And a God of love sends nobody to hell. No. You see, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And now, the whosoever, you and me, from the world, it has to come to whosoever. Salvation is between you and God. Salvation is personal. I can't believe for you. You can't believe for me. And I'll tell you, if we could, there would be parents that would believe for their children. But no, it is between you and God. Between me and God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's a choice that you and I make. God will send nobody to hell. We have to choose. Do I want to believe what God says? Do I want to believe that I'm a sinner? Do I want to believe that Christ died for me? Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We have a soul that lives forever. The question is, where? Heaven or hell? Sometimes, again, people say it's really, really not fair. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned, their sin was passed upon us. So why should we have to be guilty for sin? No, God just says that that sin was passed upon all men. And the Bible tells us because Adam sinned, he brought judgment upon us. But God didn't leave us there. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross, he brought life to every one of us. And we have to choose, and we should choose tonight. In fact, you will make a choice tonight. You will choose, yes, I'll take Christ as my Savior. Or you think, well, I won't say no, but not tonight, but you're making a choice. How do you know you'll be here tomorrow? God has given you tonight to receive Christ as your Savior. Will you come? Will you receive him tonight?